Glad to see you got the night change down too, coming in on tonight instead of tomorrow night. I thought we might have I don't know if we can come up with something special for those that are going to come tomorrow night. What do you think? But let's go ahead and start tonight by standing and singing our chorus, Give Thanks, shall we?
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given.
God, we do give you thanks tonight for all that you've done for us, for our material things that you have provided for us over the years, and especially for our spiritual blessings that you bountifully give us, Lord, even though we don't deserve it. Lord, we do thank you for that. We ask your blessing on tonight as we study your word here in just a moment, that your truth would be presented clearly and accurately, and that our hearts would be open to your truth, and then that we would do your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just by way of announcements, I don't have the bulletin in front of me, but please acquaint yourself with the different things that are coming up. My wife did the bulletin yesterday for this coming Sunday. And because of the holiday, she's trying to get a lot of that stuff done ahead of time. And she got the bulletin all done with everything in there that's just going on next week. And she says, oh, I'm tired already. So I think tonight is a good night for us to introduce our new series that we'll be starting here on Wednesday nights. And we'll say more about that here in just a moment. But who would have a praise or testimony they'd like to share with us tonight? Yes, Cheryl. Yes, praising the Lord for physical strength. That's great. Yep. Someone else. Yes, sir. Kurt.
For full house that we had Sunday night, for all of your testimony, it's great to hear.
That was good, wasn't it? That was good. How many of y'all are traveling this week? 2, 3. Okay. All right. Several of us. I maybe not be as traveling as far as some of you, just going to my daughter's in Danville. And I think I mentioned to you that she decided she wanted to invite people to her house for Thanksgiving dinner. So she went to the apartment units next to her and with a plate of cookies and invited everybody. And as of last week, there were 2 so far that had said, yes, they're coming. So she's very excited about that, the outreach opportunities and things like that. And she called me last night. Her husband called me last night And so I answered the phone and said, "Hello, Mark." And then I could tell I was on speakerphone. And I heard my daughter in the background saying, "Hi, Daddy." And I said, "Oh, okay, I'm on speakerphone. Yeah. How you guys doing? Great. Blah, blah, blah." We went through all of that. And they said, "Is Mom there?" And I said, "No, she's off doing something else right now." And they said, "Well, we have an announcement to make." And yeah, that's what I did. "But we want to tell you and Mom together." And I said, "Well, she's not here. Does that mean I have to wait till she comes home?" And they said, "No, we'll tell you, but you can't tell her. We want to tell her when she comes home." So I'm like, I'm sitting up in the recliner now. Okay, she's got my full attention. And here was their grand announcement. "We have 15 coming for Thanksgiving dinner." Which, really, that's cool. That's great. It's not what I was expecting to hear right then. And so, you know, I did my best to sound, "Woo, yay." But counting my wife and I, she's going to have 15 in her home Thanksgiving Day. So I guess that's a prayer request, too. Some of the neighbors decided to call their family and friends and invite them too. So there's going to be a house full. And so pray for her. This is her first Thanksgiving meal. Okay. And hopefully she remembers all the turkey horror stories and things like that, you know, but Mom's going to be helping her as much as she can from here too. So that was, my, I guess, kind of praise. Still waiting for that announcement, but the one she gave me was good. Someone else, maybe. Praise or testimony. Linda.
I don't know what to say about what God's done in my life. I don't think he's done yet. So I just say the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever.
Yes.
And I'll be praying for you, Pastor. You got your sermon ready for Thanksgiving there at home?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. And she has a piano, so we're going to sing 3 songs and have an invitation and all of that, too. Oh, yeah. That's great. John or Jenna, whichever one.
They were my friends from the college this year.
Mm-hmm.
So just pray that we can get testimony to them, and we would just love to.
That's great. And that relationship started last year for Thanksgiving at their daughter's house. And it's continued. Must be. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Man, God makes some good things. He just don't understand. I'm going to put him in a situation where I couldn't even know to say, Jesus, just help me, man. But what would they be getting ready for? I was trying to come to church. I had the kids out. I had a dress ready. And something just... The devil had undercurred me and it was all over. I mean, holy shit. And I told all of us, man, I said, "But thank God I'm saved, man. I just thank the Lord, man. I was ready. I was saying, I was going to do something I shouldn't have done. Bless God. I want to thank God for letting me come here. And no matter what the situation might come out, no, God, get the honor and the glory. And my temper, yeah, it frustrated me, made me angry. But I know it wasn't me, because I would have did something. Totally different. I thank Jesus coming into my heart and helping me to run to the church, man. I knew that. I was coming no matter what, but it was just fleshing up. They were just trying to flesh it up. But this guy had my truck, that calm down, they're on the highway. I thank God for coming here tonight. Thank God for this church. I thank God for people praying for me and my family and others. We have a struggle, but this guy, I know we're going to come out on the other side.
Amen.
It's going to be a God's time, not our time.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Oh, thank you, John. Appreciate that. Amen. Amen. That's great. Yeah, someone else. Pat. Okay. Yes, yes. Yeah, he's in our prayer bulletin, number 9 there, Jeff Wooters, and making some progress there. But just like John just said, it's God's time. God's time. Yes, Betty? Okay. All right, that's good. There's a praise. Yeah. Anyone else? All right, Bob has an unspoken. As far as prayer requests, or a praise, actually, Julia was stopped in today. We got to see her, and she's still not driving yet. The doctor, she was on her way to a doctor appointment, and the doctor said she still has probably 4 weeks before she can drive. And so that's what's keeping her at her daughter's house right now. And keeping her from coming here to the church and doing her walking, you know, 3 times a day that she does. That's the reason we're looking at replacing carpeting next year, folks. I'm convinced of that. But we sure miss her. And she's healing. There's no sling, but she's just not quite there yet. So keep her in prayer. And also, I guess we'll just share this as an unspoken prayer request that she has for her daughter. And God knows the details there. So just be in prayer about that. Also pray for Jeannie. She's having surgery tomorrow. Jeannie Mattis. And as well as some other requests that are listed in there. Pray for those that will be traveling, those of you that had raised your hands, but also the Bentley family, the Andersons. They're not here. I believe they've already headed out. And, of course, the Olsons will be traveling. Keep them in prayer with not just traveling, but everything else going on in their life right now that they really don't even know what's going on right now in some cases. But just keep them in your prayers. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Cindy.
I have a friend in Tennessee that I'm getting ready to have a second open heart surgery. She's 48 years old.
Wow. Okay.
Tina Berg.
Okay. Excuse me. And also, if you look at number 10 there in our prayer bulletin under special requests on the right side, be in prayer for her, if you will. She had had a stent put in just recently. And so because of that, the doctors are saying they're not going to do anything about this new problem for 6 months. So she just has to wait because of that recent stent that was put in there. So it's tough to wait, and it's tough to know when you've got that issue going on inside of you. But if you're ever discouraged, just talk to her. She'll lift your spirits. She is just so trusting God through all of this. She said, that's all I can do is just have faith that my God knows what he's doing. And so just be in prayer for her, if you would, please. Someone else? Yes, Diana. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. Mm-hmm. Okay. Praise the Lord. Yes. Did I see another hand back here? Pat. Yes, Charlie's here. Good to have you back, Charlie. God's been answering our prayers there. Absolutely. And should we give you a quiz right now to see if you've really been watching the live streaming? I want to see sermon notes afterwards tonight. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I was going to have some numbers to share with you all, but I didn't get to those today. But we can go online to our service provider that actually handles the internet end of the live streaming. And it is just unbelievable the number of people that have been clicking into our live streaming from all over the country and the world, in fact. And Jim's able to tell, in fact, how many just click and then leave, and then how many actually stay through the whole thing. So it has been a blessing. It's more than what I anticipated. And we're just finishing up with some final details with the actual, I guess, program that people see, as far as some videos that would come on at the end. When we go to our invitation, there'd be a video that would come up, and we're finishing the details on those and editing those things. And then once that is done, we're going to take out some advertising and promotion here locally to get folks in the area knowing what's going on here. And we'll really be looking forward to what the Lord does with that. Linda.
And he was sitting here with tears in his eyes Sunday night. He's been going through a lot of challenges that I won't go into. But please pray for Dylan. After we left here Sunday evening and got back to my house, I asked him if I could get my Christian Workers Bible out. He's been planning salvation to him in the scriptures. And he had no objection to that. And he took it all in word for word. And I explained to him, he said, well, Grandma, he said, I believe in God. I said, yes, Dylan, I know you believe in God, but you have to understand that Satan also believes in God. He knows all the tricks. He knows all the lies. He was cast out because he wanted himself to be given to God. I said, it's your faith in Jesus Christ that you come to the Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
It's through the blood of Jesus. And I said, there's no in between. It's either heaven or hell. And then I read the scriptures and asked him, do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
But he did not pray the sinner's prayer. He acknowledged, you know, that he knows he's a sinner. He needs to accept Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't pray the sinner's prayer.
All right.
So pray for Dylan, please. There are about a block and a half of him. There's a very good minister, Randy Sands. And good church, about a block and a half, and then there's Calvary, and then there's Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is about 5 miles from there. So pray for Dylan that there'll be laborers in his path. He's got me, he's a strong practicing Christian, he's got one uncle and aunt on his mother's side, so the family is strong practicing Christian. So pray for him. He's going to be 21 years old in February, and he needs the Lord in his life. He's a nice young man. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He needs that foundation in Christ.
Okay. All right. Thank you for sharing that. And we will be in prayer for him. Well, let's go ahead and set these to the side. And go ahead and get started in our new series tonight, entitled A Quiet Soul. And this is going to be excerpted. I don't know if that's saying it right, but from a book written by Jim Berg called Quieting a Noisy Soul. And maybe you're familiar with the title, but I think it's very pertinent to introduce this even tonight as we look at the month of December that's coming up and everything that's going on in our lives, personal work and church lives. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And after the month of December, we generally look forward to some rest, right? I talked to a young lady today at the paint store, asked her about her plans for Thanksgiving. And I said, are you coming or going for dinner? And she said, well, both. She's going to one dinner in the noon hour and then coming back home to another house for another dinner. And I said, then you're going to sleep after that, right, with all that turkey. But things can get really hectic and busy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, I believe we are in those perilous times, don't you? Consider this. There is great uncertainty in these times in the financial realm. There are corporate scandals, increased government programs that we can't pay for, government scandals, job problems, terrorism, military issues, social unrest, the homosexual agenda, racial unrest, the family unit continues to disintegrate. Moral decline, we see that in our culture. Divorce, extramarital affairs, premarital affairs, sensual and violent entertainment abounds. Music everywhere, noise, noise, noise going on all around us. And if you were to go into my office, I try to keep it clean, folks, I really do. For my own benefit, okay, not for an appearance sake. But right now on my desk, there's mail that I have to process yet. There's emails that I need to go through. There's a couple of articles that came through emails that I need to read. There's a magazine that was given to me I need to peruse through. I received a video in the mail, a DVD about a certain topic from some ministry that I really should get to. There's this collage of posting notes stuck all around my desk pad. There's just at least two dozen things on my desk. And when I'm sitting there at my desk, okay, and I share this with you not to show you that I'm scatterbrained or unorganized, because I know where everything's at on my desk, okay? And when I'm sitting there at my desk and I'm trying to study, and I have these things all over, I've often described it as each one of those things is like a voice talking to me. And it's really hard to focus on studying when I've got all of it. I mean, imagine having a person in my office for every one of those things talking to me about that thing all at the same time. And it's a struggle sometimes to just focus on one thing. And all of these other things that take place in our life, in our culture. How are people dealing with all of these things, all of this noise? Well, one way is suicide, alcohol, drugs, psychiatric medications. None of those apply personally, okay? I don't sit in my office and medicate myself, all right? I'm just throwing that out there. Road rage. A constant, perhaps to deal with it, a constant bombardment of entertainment or sports and other things that people bring into their lives to deal with all of this stuff, all of this noise going on around them. We have a culture which a culture of people which Jim Berg describes as having noisy souls. Because of all of this going on in our lives. Noise in the physical realm consists of sound waves. We understand that. In the spiritual realm, the soul, in the soul, it consists of thoughts in our soul. That's the noise. And if we're going to quiet our souls, wouldn't you like that? Just have a quiet soul, then we have to examine, not the sound waves, but we have to examine the thoughts, the feelings, or not the feelings, but the thoughts, okay? Then we have to evaluate those thoughts with God's Word. And where they are wrong thoughts, we need to repent. But to do that, we have to know what wrong thoughts look like, don't we? So let's go ahead and dive into this tonight, in this first lesson, noticing the noise, all right? What does noise in the soul look like? Well, Matthew chapter 11, if you'll turn there, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Then Christ says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, let's just take care of some definitions there. That word labor, come unto me, all ye that labor. It means to grow weary, to be beaten down. Have you ever felt like that before? Growing weary, getting beaten down. It literally means to take a beating. Jesus says, come here, I can help you. That phrase, heavy laden, it means burdened down. Like a ship loaded with cargo and it's sunk down in the water. It's just barely staying above the surface of the water. It just can't take the pressure any longer. Jesus says, come here, I can help you. No matter what it is or how much of it, of that cargo we have in our souls, in our lives, Jesus says, come on here, I can help you. And before we look at the noises that rob us of peace, let's consider what David wrote in Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 2. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me. That's a wonderful phrase from David, speaking of God. God's inclination is to hear us. He wants to hear us is what that means. David said a horrible pit is where he was at. Literally, a pit of noise in his soul. God wants to give you and I stability. As it says there, he took him out of that horrible pit, out of the clay. He set his feet upon a rock. That's a picture of stability, folks. He wants to direct your ways so that when others see you with all of the noise that they're experiencing, everyone experiences it, they see you planted firmly on a foundation of rock, and they see what God is doing, and then they want the same thing for themselves because of what they see in your life. They don't see you falling apart like everyone else. They see you holding it together because your feet are planted firmly. So let's look at some of these noises first that we find in our lives. The first one is anxiety and fear. Anxiety and fear. What if this happens? That's a question that stems from anxiety or a fear. I mean, what if? What if? What if? thoughts of uncertainty. I can't lose control. I've got to keep everything under my control. You know, if that's your mindset, I guarantee you that God is going to just totally turn your world upside down just to show you He's in control. He has a way of doing that, doesn't He? We have to relinquish control and let God control and then just trust God. Number two, or letter B, discouragement and despair. That's some of the noise that we have in our life. Thoughts of hopelessness. My life is never going to change. It's never going to get better. Well, we could spend a lot of time just talking about that mindset. What's the use? We give up. There's no hope. I blew it again. I'm always failing. This always happens to me. Nobody else goes through this. I never get any breaks. Discouragement and despair. Okay. A third noise, anger and frustration. Of course, we understand that. Letter D, bitterness and hatred. Thoughts of injustice towards us. mistreatment, unfairness. I get treated like dirt at my job. It's not right. I get treated like dirt in my marriage. Just an illustrative statement, folks, not a statement of fact. We say, this isn't fair. That's bitterness speaking. Letter E, guilt and shame. Thoughts that come from the previous thoughts we've looked at. Folks, God didn't intend us to think this way. We could just spend some time right now looking at Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, just, honest, of good report, lovely, and any virtue, any praise, think on these things. That's what our thoughts should be. And what's the result? The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds. The result is a quiet soul. Letter F. Possessions and positions. Is that a noise? Absolutely. Thoughts of daily responsibilities that we have to do. We have to get these things done. To-do lists. Planning. We got to go down the checklist. We've got to get these things done today. You know, the thought occurred to me several weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, and I was just kind of evaluating just some things in my own life. And it's not necessarily a personality type. It's just something that if we allow ourselves to, we can fall into this. And I guess one way to describe it is, do you remember what John Wayne said in one of his movies? We're burning daylight, right? What does that mean? As soon as the sun's up, boom, got to get stuff done, get stuff done, get stuff done, get stuff done. Sun's not down yet, keep going, keep going. Summers, I love it. I get so much more done. The sun's still up. We can still work. My body hasn't crashed yet physically. It's not 11 o'clock at night yet and I get up at 5. I can still go, 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 get something else done. And I thought, well, wait a minute, what am I doing? And you know what? You know what I realized? When I quit at 10 or 10:30 or 11 or whatever the case is, and I don't mean to say I do that every night, there's always something more to do. And the next day, I tear into it again. At the end of that day, there's always more to do. Now, do you believe God is sovereign? Absolutely. God is in control. Do you believe God has a plan for your life? I do. I believe this is the day the Lord hath made. He made this day for me. And if in that day, He also planned what it is He wants me to do that day. And I don't get a bonus star sticker on my chart in heaven if I get more than that done. God gave me that day to do just what He wanted me to do in that day. And maybe in that day He planned for me to just chill. And there's some things He wanted done tomorrow. Those words are joy to a procrastinator, aren't they? Balance, folks. All right, we've got to keep things in balance here. But we have all of these daily responsibilities, our possessions, our positions, responsibilities. Some people are constantly trying to be on top to maintain the possessions that we have so we don't lose anything. That's a noise. That's one of the noises in some people's souls. Letter G, entertainment and recreation. Now, I mentioned this earlier in the introduction as a medication that some people use in their hectic life. Well, we just got to have some entertainment. We've got to have recreation. And so they buy this toy or they get these tickets and they're going here and they're going there. It's just adding more noise to everything. Movies, TV, music, news, games, sports, travels, adventures, internet, Facebook. Yes, that can be a noise, all right? We bombard our minds 24/7, it seems like. How many times have we come home from a strenuous day, hectic day, And rather than just sitting down and reflecting on how God would want us to handle the stresses of that day, or maybe sitting down and going over our memory verses, I'm throwing that at myself right now, and Kurt, and Joe, all right? And instead of doing those things, we flip on the TV and we just veg out with more noise. Better perhaps to ask God, why was this day so joyless for me? What's wrong with my heart that I missed what God was trying to do in me today? We've had days like that, haven't we? We end the day and we just want to crawl away somewhere because it was hectic, everything went wrong, and we end the day with no joy. And yet if we read Philippians, Paul says, joy, 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 rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Through the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're just supposed to rejoice. God, why don't I have any joy right now? What did I miss in these things that you allowed in my life today? Why am I not joying in them? John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you. That's what Christ left for us. Peace. He says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Folks, you won't get peace. Jesus is saying, you won't get my peace the same way the world does. Is that what we're trying to do when we add all this other noise in our life? The world gets peace by filling their lives with distractions and possessions and adventures and people. Is that what we're trying to do sometimes? Well, what is it that's wrong with all these noises? Let's look at number two, the dangers of noise in the soul. Physically, all right, and if Dr. Jackson was here, she could probably fill us in on all the blanks. The physical dangers of all of this noise. How about gastrointestinal disorders? Cardiac difficulties? Autoimmune system and endocrine dysfunctions. I had to practice some of these words, folks. Sleep disorders. Physically, the noise affects us. But how about spiritually? Spiritually, let her be. We lose our focus on God because of this noise. Just like me sitting at my desk trying to study, preparing for a message, and I've got all this noise going on around me. I lose my focus so easily sometimes. And it's not just because of my undiagnosed ADD, okay? We lose our focus on God. We don't see Him as our Savior. We spend our time trying to work out our own problems, don't we? Trying to come up with solutions for these things in our lives. And what happens is this separated independence from God, it's kind of like mutiny. When you think about it, for created beings to turn to themselves for solutions when we were created to depend on God. And we said, nope, I'm going to do it on my own. And then we get to the point where we no longer hear God. And maybe that could explain sometimes how we can sometimes feel like we read our Bible, read our Bible, read our Bible, and we don't get anything out of it. We've got all this noise that we're trying to solve. We've cut those dependent strings from God to us. What is God's cure for all of this? Well, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, he says this, come unto me. Come unto me. It's that simple, folks. This is what's called fellowship. Now, let's look at this passage again. If you have it in your Bibles, okay, let's not go to it yet on the screen. If you have it in your Bibles, Matthew 11:28, and in fact, I'm going to back up and reread that verse before we go to that next screen. Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Christ is saying, learn about me. For, and here's how I am. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. And then if we do that, here's what he says. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now what I want to do is I want to take that passage again, but let's look at it from the opposite side. Let's flip that coin over and see what it's saying from an opposite perspective. Here's what it would look like. It says, avoid me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will deny you rest. Refuse my yoke of fellowship and abiding, and refuse to learn what I am like in order to become like me, and you shall find noise in your soul. It's just the opposite of that verse. When we don't do the verse that's in our Bibles, this revised verse is the one that we're following. We might as well just read that, right? The godfather of noise is pride. That's at the root of it, folks. It's just pride. Most of our noise is created when we try to gain control of our lives. Pride is what whines. Have you ever whined before?
Meh.
Do adults whine? Oh, yes, we do. All right. It might sound a little more adultish, but we still whine, don't we? It is pride that pouts. When a little child is pouting, why are they pouting? Because they didn't get their way. We can do the same thing. Of course, we don't do this and jut our bottom lip out, but we have our adult ways of pouting. That's pride. It is pride that argues. It is pride that debates. It is pride that covets. It is pride that envies. Do you know what the difference between those two are? Covet and envy. Covet is wanting something that someone else has. Envy is seeing something else that someone else has and thinking they shouldn't have it because you don't have it. That's pride. Pride retaliates. Pride shifts blame. Pride points fingers. It's pride that causes us to lust, desire. It's pride that manipulates. It's pride that worries and frets. Pride is at the root of all this noise in our lives. If we look at Matthew 11:28, what does Christ say there? I believe it's verse 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And then what does he say? "For I am proud." No, he says, "I am meek and lowly in heart." And when we don't follow that, instead we replace it with pride, the result is noise in our souls. So our question that needs to be before us throughout this series, as we start on it tonight, is this. Am I willing to repent of the responses in my life that leave God out? A lot of these responses that I've just covered through, where pride is the root, they all leave God out. Am I willing to admit that? Am I willing to be content with what God is doing in my life? Am I willing to be meek, to be governed by God, to be humble? Let's ask ourselves those questions as we go through this series. You say, "But Pastor, I am a mess." I mean, if you could climb into my soul, your eardrums would be blasted out. It's so noisy. then you are just the one that God is saying, come here, I want to help you. So maybe when we break up into our prayer groups tonight, let's pray, Lord, show me anything you want me to do, and I'll do it. Amen? Let's go to our prayer groups.